It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again this evening as you pray for me tonight. I'd like to, Lord willing, continue on with what Brother Matt brought to our attention Sunday on the subject of preservation. That's what's still on my mind this evening. And where Brother Matt spoke to us about the importance and the method and the signs of preservation, I'd like to talk for a little while about the basis of our preservation, and hopefully this won't be too redundant what Brother Matt preached to us Sunday, but if there is some overlap in that, just pray that the Lord will bless us to be able to rightly divide His Word. I'd like to turn to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I think we find contained here two things that we could say are the basis of our preservation. Jesus says in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And then verses 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus says that He is the good shepherd, and that He would lay down His life for the sheep. If we consider the motivation behind that, I believe we find that expressed in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says in the 31st chapter, in the 3rd verse, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." The everlasting love of God is what, for His people, is what motivated Him to enter into the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into the world to lay down His life for the sheep. And as the Lord says there, it is an everlasting love, but also we think there in the book of Malachi, where He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Whom the Lord loves, He is always loved. It's an everlasting love. And because He does not change, His love for them will never change. And as we said, because of that love that He has for His people, He gave His elect unto the Lord to come into the world to save, as we read in the 1st chapter of Ephesians. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." But Matt also read a Sunday in 1 Peter, where he says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We have a standing in Christ because of that, God having chosen us in Him. As Jesus told His disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So we, His people, are in Christ. And as Brother Mike was saying earlier, about that song that we sing sometimes, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" We believe that we were there in Christ when he was giving his life, laying down his life for the sheep. In the Roman epistle, in the 5th chapter, we find the Apostle Paul writing these words. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God commended that everlasting love toward us in having his Son come here to die for us. It says we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now, there's no more enmity between the people of God and the Lord himself. We know that we were placed in that condition of being enemies against God by Adam's transgression, the original sin there in the Garden of Eden, that sin nature being passed down to everyone in the human family, every descendant of Adam, and by nature being enemies against him. But now we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, by his laying down his life for the sheep. We are now reconciled to him. And not only do we have the reconciliation, and we know that, as it said there, we're justified through his blood. We stand as being righteous before God, as having never sinned because of the blood of Christ, taking away all of our sins. But also, as it goes on to say this, we'll go back to where we left off reading in the first chapter there of Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood. We go back to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. See what the Lord says there to his people. Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Not only did God the Father give his people to Christ in the covenant before the world began, they're his by election, but also we belong to Christ through redemption. He has bought back of that in one place. I think it may also be in Isaiah, perhaps. I didn't think of this beforehand, but where he says, you have sold yourselves for naught. That's what we did, but he has bought us back. He has redeemed us. He says, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We belong to God. We are his purchased possession, as he speaks out there, further down in that first chapter of Ephesians, where he speaks about the Spirit being the earnest of our inheritance. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We are now the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Apostle Paul also said in Acts in the 20th chapter, they are addressing the Ephesian elders, where it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased his people back to himself by his blood, by his laying down his life for the sheep. And we believe that the Lord is going to get what he paid for without the loss of one. But not only that, but he says that he gives his sheep eternal life and that they shall never perish. Jesus in well, let me first go back to Romans while we're right there. in the fifth chapter. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This eternal life that we have is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there, as we read in the 10th chapter of John, that He gives eternal life to His sheep, and that they shall never perish. So it is truly a gift of God. As Jesus also said, if you turn back to the 11th chapter of John, where He's speaking there with Mary, Martha, after Lazarus' death. And He says to Martha there, in John 11, chapter 11, verse 25, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection." And He says, "He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That is the resurrection. We know that these bodies are going to die. But Jesus says, "Because I am the resurrection, these bodies are going to live again." Doesn't just say that He's the resurrection. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then the life is, He says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." That is that eternal life that we have abiding in us even now. That is the gift of God. Jesus Christ giving eternal life to each one of His sheep, and they shall never perish. As He says here in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, He says, "All that the Father giveth to Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." Here we have the assurance that all those will come, that were given to Him, will come to Him. He says that He will in no wise cast one of them out. We know that many times that we stumble along the way, we behave ourselves in a way that we may feel like the Lord be justified if He were to cast us out. But thanks be to God that Jesus said that He will in no wise cast any of those out. Because no man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me." He says that we're drawn to Him by the Father, and that He will raise us up at the last day. So this is eternal life, as Paul wrote to Titus, in hope of eternal life, that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What a great hope it inspires in us to realize that Jesus has promised us eternal life, and God that cannot lie is the one that made that promise. He cannot lie and He cannot change. So He says, "Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." So I hope that shows that it's through the fact of Christ laying down His life for the sheep and His imparting unto them eternal life being the basis of our preservation in Him. But I also share Brother Matt's concern that we not become complacent as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because as he said, and as I've tried to point out here this evening, we can and we do stumble along the way from time to time. And not only so, but we've also been given some examples in God's Word of some saints that did not finish their course with joy, that such as Lot and Solomon, Uzziah, the unnamed prophet there in 1 Kings chapter 13 that went to Bethel and then disobeyed the Lord, got slain by the lion. But I think that we need to, as God's Word says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." We don't want to be as those that accuse us because we believe in the grace of God that we can become careless in how we live our lives here because we know that we are secure in Him. But we want to be diligent in serving Him here in this life, but yet realizing that, as Apostle Paul wrote in the 8th chapter of Romans, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Because we cannot be separated from the love of God, every one of God's children are going to be with Him in glory when this life is over with, and we're preserved in Him, and let's praise Him for that.